In almost every battleship movie that I've ever seen, invariably something bad is about to happen. The naval commander of the ship will announce over the radio, "Now hear this, now hear this." To the crew, this means stop what you're doing and listen very carefully to what is about to be said. Jesus uses strikingly similar words in today's gospel reading. He wanted everyone in the large crowd to pay careful attention to what he was about to say. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Then Jesus said, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And in Mark 3, chapter 3, Jesus shows his anger when he challenges listeners about life. Is it permitted to preserve or to destroy it? On January 22, 1973, the Supreme Court, in the Roe versus Wade decision, in its most twisted logic, declared that children in the womb are not persons. It opened the door to tens of millions of abortions. Some 62 million children have been killed in the womb since then, just in America. In fact, over 10,000 of these children were killed by abortion each year, are at 21 weeks of development or beyond. Indeed, as we mark another Roe versus Wade commemoration, it's time for us all to get involved in the efforts to end abortion. January 22nd always falls close to the third week in ordinary time when we hear these readings that accent the theme of repentance. Now hear this. Now hear this. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent is the first message of Jesus as he begins his public ministry. It was also the first message of John the Baptizer as he began preparing the way for Christ. And it was the first theme that Peter proclaimed on the first Pentecost. The work of the church today echoes repentance. Many believers, as they learn more about the facts of abortion and Roe versus Wade, think that our first spiritual duty about abortion is to pray. But it is not. Our first duty is to repent. God simply does not prohibit us from committing abortion. He prohibits us from tolerating it. He calls us to become active in fighting it. Repentance means to change. I change my way of thinking, my attitude, my disposition, and life choices so that Christ can be the master and Lord of my heart rather than sin, selfishness, and greed. If we are only sorry for the consequences of our sins, we will very likely keep repeating the sin that is mastering us. True repentance requires a contrite heart and sorrow for sin and a firm resolution to avoid it in the future. True repentance is not only repentance and change in ourselves, but also means working for change in others in society. Repentance for sins means working to promote respect for life in our society. It means working for change in respect for life in our culture. Father Frank Pavone, the National Director of Priests for Life, says that repentance from sins against the life means we must intercede for the children in danger because of someone else's actions. There are many good and beautiful things in our culture and our church, but there are also so many terrible things. They include, in some places, unfortunately, we do not have a vibrant church. Statistics show fewer and fewer Catholics believe and are not attending Mass. Most of these are believers of the world and believers in the sexual revolution. Most of those are willing to submerge religious values and are pro-choice and support people killing babies. There is a lack of respect for the dignity of the human person. Many people are greedy, and some of us are ignoring the plight of the poor. Promiscuity, hooking up, is accepted as normal, even expected and promoted by the media. Fidelity in marriage is decreasing. Drug and alcohol use among teenagers is proliferating. Abortion is regularly used to eliminate children who would be born with disabilities. Do whatever you want, just don't get caught. Laws should promote the common good. They should protect people from being harmed by others. But laws do not always promote good moral behavior. Many things that are permitted in the law are not morally correct and verge on serious sin. I remember one time correcting our son for something he did, and he responded, "But Dad, I didn't break the law." Roe versus Wade permitting abortion is not a law that says we should abort babies. No one is forced to have an abortion, but many men and women and couples feel that it is the right thing to do because they put their selfish nature ahead of having children. Or they feel that economic factors justify an abortion. Or they found out their child may be born with a handicap and they think they can't handle it. Or their marriage breaks up and they can't face life as a single parent. Or other excuses. We face many challenges about respect for life with the new president and his pro-abortion transgender agenda and his submerging religious freedom. Not only is it a threat for respect for life, it's a threat for the sanctity of marriage, the unity and love of the family, and religious freedom. Woe are we. What can we do? Now hear this. Now hear this. Repent and believe in the gospel. How can we intercede for respect for life for the children in danger because of someone else's action? Here are 8 hopeful signs for the pro-life movement in 2021. Number 1, the 48th Annual March for Life will take place in Washington, D.C. this week on January 29th. The march will be downsized, but it will have strong pro-life speakers. 2, a historic number of pro-life women are entering the U.S. House of Representatives. 18 new pro-life women were elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. Out of these 18 women, 10 have flipped seats formerly held by pro-abortion representatives. 3, 2021 is the year of St. Joseph, patron of fathers and families. We take great comfort in knowing Jesus' earthly father and the husband of our Holy Mary will have a strong grip on the year 2021. The Supreme Court is poised to protect life. It's in a position like never before to chip away at Roe versus Wade. The pregnancy care movement stands strong. In 2019, 2,700 pro-life pregnancy centers nationwide served almost 2 million people at an estimated value of $270 million. Pregnancy centers on the front line of the pro-life movement, notably in the Archdiocese of Denver, Catholic Charities Respect Life Office provides medical care and human services through Marisol Health, Marisol Homes, and the Gabriel House Project and its network of services. Many women who are vulnerable to abortion abused or lack material and emotional support have a compassionate and welcoming place to go. 6, pro-life is still a winning strategy at the state level in most states. Pro-life laws at the state level are still very much alive and thriving. Unfortunately, Colorado lags behind that. While 40% of abortions are from medical abortion or abortion pills, which occur when a woman takes 2 pills to end the life of her baby, there is an increase in abortion pill reversal processes. 8, a new appreciation for the sanctity of life has occurred during the COVID pandemic. The deaths from the pandemic have been a sober reminder of our mortality and the preciousness of human life. 48 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court created a right to choose abortion, and that has resulted in the death of millions of unborn children and has promoted a fundamental disrespect for life. Today, those promoting the right to abortion manifest an intolerance toward those who would choose in favor of God's gift of life. We who believe in the sacredness of life and the right of religious freedom need to intercede for those children in danger because of someone else's actions. Now hear this. Repent and believe in the gospel. Pray and work for respect for life from conception to natural death. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.